Hey, 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 all my beautiful angel besties, and welcome back to the pod. It's been almost 3 weeks, and I'm so sorry, friends. I love you and did not forget about you. You guys are literally my besties. I feel connected, even if I can't really see you and I don't know you personally. I just know that if I did know you, we would be super close because we love God. And I love you and I did not forget about you, but I had to deal with a family emergency, but I'm back and I'm doing a little better day by day. I'll make a podcast later on, but for now I want to keep it light rather than too heavy with emotion. But yeah, I'm so freaking excited y'all can make it. I'm so blessed that I'm able to share this message with you and spread the love and light of Jesus Christ. Amen, hallelujah, and praise Jesus. He is good, so good, in fact, that I just want to give him the space to speak through me. So this podcast was made to fill you all with the love of Jesus, and it's also a platform dedicated to helping y'all come together in unity to want to know and understand Jesus and all of the love God has to offer and wants to offer each and every one of us. So join me, sipping the bitter tea of life and sweetening it with the oh-so-sweet Jesus Christ. Right now I'm sipping on, it says Indonesian tea. It's like an Earl Grey and lavender mixture. The hubby made it. It's pretty good. I made it ice though. I let it sit for too long and it was just like warm or like lukewarm. So it was very strange. So I just made it ice. So yeah, I got that in my little lemon cup. So first of all, I think I want to do an episode each season where I just take a moment to reflect on God's goodness in the Bible. And I also really want to focus on one main book that I'm reading, kind of like a Bible study. And I'll still quote scriptures from other books as well, but I really want to understand and help you understand as well what is truly going on if you're having a harder time like me with reading the Bible on your own. Like, I'm no expert, that's not what I'm saying, but with prayer and vigilance, I know we can do this together. So before I get into it today, I want to start off praying for all of us today. So, yeah, here we go. Dear Father God, may we learn to glorify you more, Lord. So it says in Psalms 19:14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lord, during our times of struggle, when we feel weak, may we be reminded to fix our eyes onto you. God, may we remember your sovereignty and that you're the truth and your love will bring us the comfort that we need during these trying times. Like when we feel distant from you, may we always remember your promise in James 4:8, which is to draw near to you and you will draw near to us. God, we love you and we thank you so much. For anyone who is new to your faith, may you be encouraged as God's love blesses you and Jesus' love and blood washes over you and covers you for healing. It's in your amazing name we pray. Amen. So I want to go over the Lord's creation, his blessings throughout scripture, his mercy, his love, and most importantly, his understanding for all people and the grace and the want and need for his light to cover over our darkness and sins so we too then can help encourage others along our own journey. Because that's what he wants. He wants to bring his kingdom on earth. His grace, but most importantly, how much we should be faithful enough to thank him. And I just want to go over everything that makes God, God. Like, I always preach and preach until I'm blue in the face. But at the start and end of each day, I have God to thank for how awesome and almighty he is. It's not me. I don't give myself the credit. I mean, I'm pretty good with writing out my feelings and just, like, studying the Bible and all that. I've always been, like, I love studying and I love writing so much. So my podcasts are, they're raw, you know? Like, this is me writing them. And I'm reading them, obviously. So it's, like, scripted in a way, but, like, it's still raw. It's still me. Like, I'm not, you know, like, just pulling from, like, I'm not, like, copywriting, you know what I'm saying? Since I'm finally wrapping up reading the book of Job, I came across numerous passages that really reflected who God is. Like, before I even started reading Job, I was reciting passages from the book of Job in other episodes. God called me to read Job, and it humbled me quick. Like, God isn't to be feared all the time. And yes, he is bigger than anyone can comprehend. He brought life to every single living thing, and he never ceases to amaze or impress me. But still, he's so full of love and grace, and it is shown time and time again through what he has created. He is to be feared, but he also has open arms awaiting anyone lost or broken, because the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The beauty in every little thing is just absolutely breathtaking and carefully crafted to perfection. I mean, for example, the sunset. Oh my gosh, can I get an amen? Hallelujah. It is beautiful. And I just want to spend this next few moments worshiping his goodness and praising him. You know, he wants us. All of us. Every single one of us. He doesn't hate anyone, and if you think he hates you, you're wrong, because you are you because of him, but because of the sin that is causing you to be so far away from him and his kingdom. Yeah, he doesn't hate you, but he's like, come on, girl, like, wake up, snap out of it. He wants to meet you where you are right now if you can't reach him. And he brings in people like me to love on you and bring you closer to God. You know, one of my close friends told me that our mutual friend was so close to, quote unquote, dropping me because of how much I love our God. Okay, bet, drop me. But I'm still going to love on you. And what's keeping you there, though? Because I can promise you that our Father is so much greater and so much more amazing than the sin you are worshiping. He spoke to as well as hung out with the literal outcasts of society. You know, in the Bible, we see him defend a prostitute, a Samaritan woman, which is also a prostitute, who has, you know, whether it be drugs or like homosexuality or OnlyFans or any other type of prostitution. Jesus was here then and he is here now. Jesus met with a prostitute where she was at. He literally sat with her and defended her heart. So I am not very smart, but I went ahead and like wrote out the story of him meeting the prostitute and defending her, and I forgot which book this is in, so I'm definitely gonna have to look that up when I finish this up. So it starts with verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to come to his home for lunch, and Jesus accepted the invitation. As they sat down to eat, a woman of the streets, a prostitute, heard he was there and brought an exquisite flask filled with an expensive perfume. Going in, she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping, with her tears falling down upon his feet. And she wiped them off with her hair and kissed them and poured the perfume on them. 39. When Jesus' host, a Pharisee, saw what was happening and who the woman was, he said to himself, "This proves that Jesus is no prophet, for if God had really sent him, he would know what kind of woman this one is." Then Jesus spoke up and answered his thoughts. "Simon," he said to the Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." All right, teacher, Simon replied. Go ahead. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 5,000 to one and 500 to the other, but neither of them could pay him back. So he kindly forgave them both, letting them keep the money. Which do you suppose loved him most after that? I suppose the one who had owed him the most, Simon answered. Correct, Jesus agreed. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look, see this woman kneeling here? When I entered your home, you didn't bother to offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she had washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You refused me the customary kiss of greeting, but she has kissed my feet again and again from the time I first came in. You neglected the usual courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has covered my feet with rare perfume. Therefore, her sins, and they are many, are forgiven, for she loved me much. But one who is forgiven little shows little love. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then the men at the table said to themselves, who does this man think he is, going around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I'm just... Woo! So, what was it? When I first heard this term, I have, a burning in my throat. When you are in prayer or you're reading scripture aloud or to yourself or... to someone, it's just, it's so powerful. It's, I forgot what it's called, the holy burn or something. It's like when you're speaking truth, it's like, I don't know. It literally takes the breath away from myself. So, and I'm just in awe from the story. Jesus is just so, he's just so good. He read Simon's mind, and Simon still had the audacity to say, who does this man think he is going around forgiving sins? Hello, sir. He just read your mind to tell you that he is good, that he loves, that he is going to defend our hearts when we are stuck in sin, or because we love him so much and we're stuck in sin, that he's gonna forgive them, and even if there are many. But it's the fact that you are being offended because you weren't spoken to in that way, or you weren't praised, or you weren't, you weren't the center of attention, or it literally says the one who is forgiven little shows little love. That means he doesn't go out of his way to pray to God and say, I've sinned, I repent. He's not repenting, and God is so good. He listens to us, he wants us, he loves us, he's willing to just meet us where we are. So I wrote down in my notes Job 37, 1 through 18. So I'm going to read it all to you. It's going to be lengthy, I'm sorry, but it's got to be done. So, this is Elihu proclaims God's majesty. At this, also my heart trembles and leaps out of its place. Keep listening to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. Under the whole heaven he lets it go, and his lightning to the corners of the earth. After it, his voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain the lightnings when his voice is heard. God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things that we cannot comprehend. For the snow, he says, fall on the earth. Likewise to the downpour, his mighty downpour. He seals up the hand of every man, that all men whom he made may know it. Then the beasts go into their lairs and remain in their dens. From its chamber comes the whirlwind, and cold from the scattering winds. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen fast. He loads the thick cloud with moisture. The clouds scatter his lightning. They turn around and around by his guidance to accomplish all that he has commanded, all that he commands them on the face of the habitable world.
whether for correction or for his land or for love, he causes it to happen. Hear this, O Job. Stop and consider the wondrous works of God. Do you know how God lays his command upon them and causes the lightning of his cloud to shine? Do you know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him who is perfect in knowledge? You whose garments are hot when the earth is still because of the south wind, can you, like him, spread out the skies hard as a cast metal mirror? It's just jaw-dropping because everything that goes on in this world is not... It doesn't happen without God's permission and authority. He has authority over our lives, over what's going on in the world. He brings the clouds in. He brings the winds. His voice is mighty and it's roaring, especially when we're down in the dumps and he meets us halfway, because we got to be willing to do the work. And sometimes when we can't, he's going to meet us, and it's going to take some time for us to notice it too. Because, you know, like I've said in past episodes, the devil tries to disguise himself in his voice and his words to mimic what God is, but it's going to be a little different, you know. God is just so just, and if you see or hear something and you're like, wow, this seems so good, like so good to be true, like too good to be true actually, and you know, and you think in your heart or you feel in your heart like this outcome is not great, it's probably not God, and God is just so good. He's so good. So I wrote down in my notes also all of Job 38 39 40 41. That's a lot, so I don't know, like, I want to read that all to you, and it's gonna take some time. I'm already at 17 minutes, but God is good, and, ooh, he is speaking, he's going, he's moving, he's like, yeah, that might be long, but I'm God. Oh, praise him. So, Job 36, 38. This is when the Lord answers Job. Oof. Ooh-wee. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb, when I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall you proud waves be stayed? Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare, if you know all this, where is the way to the dwelling of light, and where is the place of darkness, that you may take it to its territory, and that you may discern the path to its home? You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow, or have you seen the storehouses of the hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? What is the way to the place where the light is distributed, or where the east wind is scattered upon the earth? who has cleft a channel for the torrents of rain and a way for the thunderbolt to bring rain on a land where no man is, on the desert in which there is no man, to satisfy the waste and desolate land and to make the ground sprout with grass? Has the rain a father, or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb did the ice come forth? And who has given birth to the frost of heaven? The waters become hard like stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Can you find the chains of the Pleiades, or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth the Maseroth in their season, or can you guide the bear with its children? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you establish the rule on earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, "Here we are"? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts, or given understanding to the mind? Who can number the clouds by wisdom, or who can tilt the waterskins of the heavens when the dust runs into a mass and the clods stick fast together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in their thicket? Who provides for the raven its prey when its young ones cry to God for help and wonder about for lack of food? Do you know when the mountain's goats give birth? Do you observe the calving of the does? Can you number the months that they fulfill? And do you know the time when they gave birth, when they crouch, bring forth their offspring, and are delivered of their young? Their young ones become strong, they grow up in the open, they go out and do not return to them. Who has let the wild donkey go free? Who has loosed the bonds of the swift donkey? To whom I have given the arid plain for his home and the salt land for his dwelling place? He scorns the tumult of the city. He hears not the shouts of the driver. He ranges the mountains as his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Is the wild ox willing to serve you? Will he spend the night at your manger? Can you bind him in the furrow with ropes, or will he harrow the valleys after you? Will you depend on him because his strength is great, and will you leave to him your labor? Do you have faith in him that he will return your grain and gather it to your threshing floor? The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but are they the pinions and plumage of love? For she leaves her eggs to the earth and lets them be warmed on the ground, forgetting that a foot may crush them and that the wild beast may trample them. She deals cruelly with her young, as if they were not hers, though her labor be in vain. Yet she has no fear, because God has made her forget wisdom and given her no share in understanding. When she rouses herself to flee, she laughs at the horse and his rider. Do you give the horse his might? Do you clothe his neck with the mane? Do you make him leap like the locust? His majestic snorting is terrifying. He paws in the valley and exults in his strength. He goes out to meet the weapons. He laughs at fear and is not dismayed. He does not turn back from the sword. Upon him rattle the quiver, the flashing spear, and the javelin. With fierceness and rage, he swallows the ground. He cannot stand still at the sound of the trumpet. When the trumpet sounds, he says, "Aha!" He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. Is it by your understanding that the hawk soars and spread his wings toward the south? Is it at your command that the eagle mounts up and makes his nest on high? On the rock he dwells and makes his home, on the rocky crag and stronghold. From there he spies out the prey, his eyes behold it from far away. His young ones suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is he. And the Lord said to Job, "Shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it." Job promises silence. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further." The Lord challenges Job.
Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Dress for action like a man. I will question you and you make it known to me. Will you even put me in the wrong? Will you condemn me that you may be in the right? Have you an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like his? Adorn yourself with majesty and dignity. Clothe yourself with glory and splendor. Pour out the overflowings of your anger and look on everyone who is proud and abase him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low and tread down the wicked where they stand. Hide them all in the dust together. Bind their faces in the world below. Then will I also acknowledge to you that your own right hand can save you. Behold, behemoth, which I made as I made you. He eats grass like an ox. Behold his strength in his loins and his power to and his power in the muscles of his belly. He makes his tail stiff like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are knit together. His bones are tubes of bronze. His limbs like bars of iron. He is the first of the works of God. Let him who made him bring near his sword, for the mountains yield food for him where all the wild beasts play. Under the lotus plants he lies, in the shelter of the reeds and in the marsh. For his shade the lotus trees cover him, the willows of the brook surround him. Behold, if the river is turbulent, he is not frightened. He is confident through Jordan rushes against his mouth. Can one take him by his eyes or pierce his nose with the snare? Can you draw out Leviathan with a fish hook or press down his tongue with a cord? Can you put a rope in his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many pleas to you? Will he speak to you soft words? Will he make a covenant with you to take him for your servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird, or will you put him on a leash for your girls? Will traders bargain over him? Will they divide him up among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hands on him. Remember the battle. You will not do it again. Behold, the hope of a man is false. He is laid low even at the sight of him. No one is so fierce that he dares to stir him up. Who then is he who can stand before me? Who has first given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not keep silence concerning his limbs or his mighty strength or his goodly frame. Who can strip off his outer garment? Who would come near him with a girdle? So yeah, I didn't finish 41. My mouth is getting a little dry. But, whew, that is good. He is calling Job out. He is basically saying, you're questioning my authority. After all, I'm the one who created the heavens. Everything under it follows. Everything as Leviathan, which is a dangerous creature. He talks about horses. He talks about donkeys. He talks about ostrich. And he made sure to not give the animal, the ostrich, wisdom. No understanding. But we do. We have that understanding. We have that wisdom. You know, we're wise enough not to leave our children behind like the ostrich does. They leave their children behind to fend for themselves, not knowing that maybe they have faith, you know? Their creator is God. Our creator is God. We have a mutual creator. But it's just, God is just good. He just doesn't miss a single detail. There is a reason for everything. Maybe we don't understand why, you know, like, for example, what I was just saying, why the ostrich doesn't have wisdom. We don't understand that. There's things we don't understand that we have to go through, that he does for us, that he doesn't do for us. We don't understand it, but it's because we need to glorify him, because he is our creator. He is just loving and all-knowing, and he wants what's best for us. He just wants to spread his kingdom, and all the glory just belongs to him, you know? All of our faith belongs to him. And yeah, God answers Job with all he has done, and rhetorically asking if Job were the one to do all the things, and basically asking, like, how could you have, of all people who have been so blessed, ask me if I made a mistake? How dare you? What a God type beat. He is just so amazing, and he's so powerful, and we don't know why he does things. But he quickly reminds us who has the authority and who calls the shots, and we just can't question it. Glory to God, for he is just so perfect and makes no mistakes. He is mysterious. How dare we ask, but why can't I be in my career field now? Or why am I struggling financially right now? The Lord, so often we question and we become selfish. Why me? Why am I struggling financially right now? Perfect example. Maybe we just need to trust in him, you know? Because then we start trying to figure out our own things and doing our own things, and, oh, I need to do this and I'll make more money, blah, 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 blah. He's going to meet us where we're at, no matter what. He is. Whether it's in a week, in a month, in a year, he's going to do it. It's not our time. God is great. God is good. And that's just it. Like, we can't question his authority. You know, so often I'm looking for direction when it comes to my podcast, and that's why I write them all down. This podcast, I let the Lord lead me, because I could spend this whole podcast saying the Lord is good, he blesses me and anyone who speaks his name and remains faithful to his word. Yeah, that's true, but that's taking away the glory of God. I read scripture. I read, how many verses did I read actually? 38, 39, 40, not all of 41, but about 4, and they were just so powerful, so impactful, and it's just, we as Christians believe, oh, like, God is creator, he created everything. But when you hear him speak, when you see evidently, like, what he's done and just how everything is laid out in detail, oh my goodness, it's just, it's so glorifying. He's just, he deserves to be glorified, you know? I just want to give him the glory and let him speak to all of us, because he calls on us to help guide others to him, to his light and to his love. And we are saved so we can call on others who can't hear his voice. We're not saved to become self-righteous and to say, thank you, God, but I want this big house. Thank you, God, but I'm only going to pray to you when I need you. Thank you, God, but I'm only going to look at the Bible when, you know, like, when I truly need something or I need to hear from you, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just so easy, you know, to, like, redirect our faith into becoming, like, self-motivated, you know? Like, I don't know much about this. And it's in the Bible, probably. But I don't want to look at it, because then I gotta stop doing it. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's self-righteous. Remember, as long as we stay committed to God and the Word, we're always gonna be insulted and turned away from. Because even Jesus, who was the Son of God, who was so pure and so good, was turned against and killed because of what and who he believed in. And the reason I bring that up is because we seem to falter in our faith when we speak up about it, when we tell our loved ones, oh, well, the reason why I'm doing so good is blah, 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 because God is so good, because he is almighty, because he is sovereign. And if you just give your life over to Jesus and then they cut you off, you know, or they cut you off, they either like cut you off in mid-sentence, or they'll cut you off, cut ties with you, block you, like, you name it. And that's okay. It's literally okay. Like, the reason I brought up that mutual friend in the beginning of my podcast is drop me. Like, that's okay, because I will still love you and God will still love you, and I hope that one day you will find God, you know? Like, and that goes for everyone. I'm not gonna be insulted. I'm not gonna be insulted. You know, when you're Christian, yeah, you can be soft, but it's nice to have a thick skin. And that thick skin is God. That armor of God is thick and it's mighty. I wrote down Luke 6, 20 through 46. I don't think I wrote it all, honestly. I don't think I meant 46. I think I meant 23. I don't know how that went so many different verses, but so I wrote down Luke 6, 20 through 23. So it says, looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets." So let's just take a minute to look back at Jesus and all that he did and all that he was. So I wrote down Luke 7, 21 through 23. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised." Why did I say it like that? I'm sorry. The dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. This is when John the Baptist is prophesizing proclaiming that Jesus is here, but he's just concerned that it's a false prophet. So he just wants to ensure that Jesus is actually there. He's actually doing what he says. He's doing what the prophecy says. So he sends a group of messengers to go to this man that proclaims he is Jesus to ensure that he is. And he is. So no matter who you are, where you are in life, if you're in a waiting season and you've been asking and praying to God, just be in faith, be humble, be in love for God's timing, because it is absolutely perfect and he just deserves to be glorified. And if you can hear a lullaby, my daughter is sleeping and she likes it extremely loud. I mean, like, not deafening, but oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. So anyways, it's really hard to understand what the Bible is saying sometimes. And I feel like sometimes if we're just looking for answers to solve our problems or what we're going through, it's so easy to just be like, oh, this is so relatable, and it's really not. Or it's just like you're misinterpreting it, or you're just being self-righteous and very selfish, and you're like, oh, this is, I don't know. I just believe that, yeah, there's things in the Bible that relate to you, but most of it is about God. And we just should be glorifying him, not glorifying ourselves. Amen. So, yeah, when we have prayers that have gone unanswered for a long time, it's really easy to lose faith. But I'm just saying this as to someone who's done this so many times. Just remain faithful. Just remain humble, because our Father, Jehovah Jireh, is just the greatest destination to lay your burden down and praise him. You know, when we feel weak, when we want to fall, we fall at his feet and we give thanks and our love to him. that he's taking care of us. We can get so caught up in the future and in all the what ifs. But the Lord wants us to remain patient, for he is sovereign. He's good. He declares us to become wrapped up in love and steadfast. And over again in the Bible, it's mentioned that love and steadfast is just what God wants us to be, steady. Steady in his timing and patient, because God wants us to just walk boundlessly and blindly in faith. If we could just close our eyes and let God lead, we're remaining faithful. We don't even have to think or react, because when we have faith, we shouldn't have any walls up or guards up. We shouldn't be afraid. I'm going to wrap up this podcast because I'm just so taken aback with the Lord. There are chills being sent all over my body because he has been doing the good works through me. But before I go, I want to mention this parable I had come across, because God said, this is the one. So I said, okay, you go. You know, we look for answers in the Bible all day and all night. And sometimes we want to see what we want to see. But the Lord says, no. He is the Redeemer and the Almighty. Everything happens in his perfect timing, not ours. Amen. So in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, verse 5 through 8, it says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. We all have different perspectives, you know, and when it comes to reading the Word of God, we just interpret it differently, we all react to it differently, and we all have different responses because of who we are and where we come from. But in this parable, in the passages after, the verses after, it says, his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you. But to others, I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and preserve, and by preserving, produce a good crop. Amen. So, yeah, what I want to leave you with is just remain humble, remain faithful, give all the glory to God, because in due time, he is going to answer your prayers. And if he doesn't answer the prayers that you are specifically asking for, he's going to be there for you regardless. As long as you have a noble and good heart, you're built on good soil, you have the firm foundation, which is God, and you retain the word, and you will produce a happy and healthy life for yourself. You know, it's just, it's all about God tests us, and sometimes we falter, and he wants to see if we're gonna stay or we're gonna go, and usually we go. So for us as Christians, let's remain faithful and humble and opening our hearts up to God and just letting him lead. He is the good shepherd. So I leave you with that note. I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening to the podcast. I'm so sorry. Like I said, I had a family emergency and I'm still recovering. But in the next podcast, I will be updating you guys. But I love you guys so much, and I thank you guys so much for listening, and I'm really hoping that you take whatever you can away from this podcast, and that If you're not saved, please, please, please just think about opening your hearts up to God right now and bowing your heads in prayer, repenting and loving Him and allowing Him to just lead you, guide you, because He's so good and He will never lead you astray. So, I love you all. Thank you so much. Have a good day.